Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome to Friday Form Focus. McSharkey is in the house. We're up and about and excited because it is Group 1 Black Caviar Lightning Stakes Day. We've got Winx and a host of other stars racing in Sydney as well. It's a good time to be loving racing, Sharkey.
It is, Michael. I'll tip the card this weekend.
Oh, please. Please. You know,
never been any...
The boy who cried wolf.
What wolf? I say it every week.
That's what I mean. And no one believes you.
We get close sometimes.
What's the closest you've ever come?
Five.
When?
About a month ago.
I mustn't have been here.
You weren't here.
Yeah, that's right. I think you've made that up.
Oh, four last week.
No, last week you were good. I will give you that.
That's right.
I'm happy with
some
four.
Respect.
You don't need...
Some respect.
We don't need the full set. Four or five winners I'm happy with, okay?
I'm bored with winning. Who was that? Matt Stewart.
What
well,
about
after
Manuel last week?
Wasn't that just remarkable?
$71 when he texted us in here on the Friday Form Focus. I hope a few listeners followed him in. I didn't. But
in true Matt Stewart style, though.
Some say he had his birthday last week, even though he turned 50 yesterday.
I sent him a text message in the moments after the race and said, Matt Stewart, you are a god. You must be cashed. You just must have stacks. And I got a text back saying, oh, I only had 50 on it. I should have had more on it. I talked myself out of it and I thought, that's classic,
he
Matt.
He did.
That is classic, Matt.
He did. But then he texted me on Sunday morning, once again in typical Matt Stewart fashion, and said, I woke up and checked my tab account and there was an extra $2,300 in it.
What?
I don't remember having 100 each way when I was drunk on Friday night on it. So he did have a good weekend.
That is brilliant.
Good on to Matty Stewart. Well done. Well, let's look ahead to tomorrow because it is a really nice meeting. Only the big meetings we get in the big guns from the tab. Trent Lascelles joining us in studio, Trenny Boy, to go through each and every race and any big bets we get throughout the next hour. You're going to keep us up to date as well.
Will do, Michael. Good morning to you and also the Sharky. And yes, it promises to be a great day tomorrow, Black Caviar Lightning Day. We had an intriguing start to the Festival of Racing last Saturday with the CF4 Stakes. And yes, it was, you could hear Maddie in the mounting just cheering away with Manuel. It was similar to Electric Fusion in the Dardo Tanchinam Stakes. That was another one he got at a price last spring. So he doesn't mind finding one at a price, Maddie.
Not bad with a roughie. Let's see if we can get our own little roughie up today. We kick things off race number one over 1600 metres. I wasn't overly excited about this race until I spoke to Chris Waller about half an hour ago, and he gave out his best of the day, Mountain Breath.
Holy
who was
dooly.
Not bad on debut. The step up in distance is going to help, but you know the international form better than us. Trenny Boy, what price is Mountain Breath and who's been the best backed?
Well, Mountain Breath has been $5.50 in the 4.40, Michael, as the second elect for the first on the card at Flemington, but there has been 60% of the support for the favourite, Remember the Name, who has been back from $6.50 into now $3.80. Mountain Breath there at $4.40. Outside of that, you have Jester Halo, hasn't budged too far at $7.50. Pure Scott's been slightly easy at $10. Ocean Deep also at $10. And Abyssinian at the $10 mark. So you're looking at 60% of the money for Remember the Name, $3.80. But there have been admirers for Mountain Breath, who's been $5.50 in the $4.40. And also, Michael, the first of the five races at Flemington tomorrow and also at Randwick. If you have a tab fixed odds win bet through your tab account and your horse runs second or third, bonus bet back up to $50.
Yeah, very good. Before I get your thoughts, Sharky, Liam O'Keefe, the track manager at Flemington, has called in. Always great to have a chat. Rail is true. How are you, Liam?
Yeah, good, thanks, Michael.
How's the track looking? I'd imagine this would have been a pretty good week for you, getting the track prepared, not overly hot.
Yeah, spot on. It's been a bit cool the last sort of 10 days, so that's enabled us to get some water on and give it a mow without putting the turf under too much stress. So it really does present well for tomorrow.
Rail back to the true. How are you expecting it to race tomorrow? No disadvantage to be back or up on speed?
Nah, they should win from anywhere tomorrow. Rail back in true. Nice, thick, even, lush cover of grass. We'll start a good 4 in the morning and get to a good 3 early afternoon. So it should present and play very well.
What's the wind looking like tomorrow? It played a part in the Caulfield meeting last week. Are we going to be okay from that perspective?
Yeah, very still conditions tomorrow for 4 here. Only a very light south southeasterly wind. So, that's very gentle into the face, but it shouldn't play any part. And, with the rail backing through, it should give them every chance.
And only a field of 11 for the Black Caviar Lightning. Where do you expect them to track?
Yeah, it's later in the day. There's a benchmark 90 sprint race, and then the two-year-olds, they may come down the middle or the inside, but I'd say middle later in the day, just staying off that inside where there might be a little bit of wear from the circle races. But, I can't pick a lot in it, so I don't think it'll really matter where they go.
Good on you, Liam. Good luck tomorrow.
Thanks, Michael.
Track will be in A1 condition, as you would expect. Sharky, looks like a good race, the first on paper for Remember the Name. Got J-Mac on board, drawn well, got the Mr. Moneybags form. But what can you tell us about Mountain Breath? What's the overseas form like?
It's okay. Ripon and that sort of, they're not great tracks, but she's got good form over there. Like, it's decent enough at that level. What I liked from her was the jump outs prior to the Moonee Valley run. I thought she showed enough strength in those jump outs at Flemington to say that she'd be able to win races to this grade, at least, in Australia. And her first up run was quite good, over 1,200. I really liked it. She's a mare that should come into her own around this trip around a mile. She is a winner up to nearly 2,000 metres, so there's some real depth there in terms of how far she can go in her races. And I had her on top here. Good second up record. Oliver sticks with her from Moonee Valley and quickly to a mile. I think they're all in her favour, and a little bit of room from the gate too, I think, will be a useful scenario for her. She can just sit midfield with time to blend into the race whenever Ollie likes. Yeah. Remember the Name gets her blinkers on, but you know what? I reckon she needs it, because although she's found the line in her three runs this preparation, she's just kind of grinding away. Yeah. There's no real sudden acceleration. She's just sort of doing her thing. She needs some smartening up, and the blinkers might do that, but I'd prefer to back Mountain Breath in the first.
What do you think the tempo will be like?
It should be okay. Yeah, 3, 2, and 1 I had going forward here. French Girl led at an absolute crawl at Lakeside last time, and that helped her get over the line, but I think she'll have a couple of mates there and Amor Tenshire and probably Jester Halo as well from an inside gate.
Yep. All right. Well, Mountain Breath, Chris Waller's best of the day. Sharky's on board as well. And I did like the way she went through the line the last 50 last out at Moonee Valley. So at 4:40, Sharky's on Mountain Breath to beat the favourite, Remember the Name, at around about $3.80. Now, race number two, this is going to be one of the nice clashes of the day. We've got Shabao from the Robert Hickmott stable, and we've also got Hangman from Mike Moroney's yard. Trent, what price did you put up Shabao, and how long did it last?
$3.40. It didn't last too long. $3.40. Did not last too long, because we're now $1.85 for Shabao, the second on the card. Hangman has drifted as a result from $4 to $4.40. Surprise Baby has had to get out in the market as well from $5 to $7. Prince Ziggy, $6 to $8. And then to the double figures, which is headed by Looks Like Elvis at $13. But you're looking at 60% of the support here for Shabao, who's been $3.40 into $1.85, heavily backed for the second on the card, Michael.
Well, they didn't miss it first up at its first Aussie start, and they are on again. Robert Hickmott joins us, the trainer of Shabao. We spoke to Rob last week on our outside broadcast at Caulfield, and got the feeling he was pretty confident already a week out. I wonder how he is today. How are you, Rob?
Good, thanks, Michael. How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm very well, mate. How's your boy? Has he had a good week?
He has, yeah. Look, he's come through that little niggle he had before Caulfield 2 weeks ago, and hasn't had an issue since, so it's a good sign. And his work, subsequent work's been terrific, so looking forward to tomorrow.
Rob, Mick Sharkey here. 6 weeks between runs for Shabao, but given your training history, it's not new territory for you. You're used to getting these European stays and giving them a spaced preparation.
Yeah, spot on, Shark. It's something that obviously they do over Germany as well, and I've got no problems with that. The horses, we've been lucky to have a facility out there at Sandown, so we could take him out there for some good maintenance gallops, and it's probably his first preparation too. You don't need to go to the well too many times, and I'm sure this horse will gain his good turn of foot that he showed in his first up run.
Is he a horse that needs to settle and find his feet? Because we saw him get back at his first Aussie start. You've drawn a nice barrier four. Would there be any inclination to be a bit closer tomorrow?
Yeah, look, we'll let the horse tell us, but, you know, he jumped very well the other day. Probably, you know, sure if Mark had just let him slide up, he would have been in the first four, but just from that wide gate and the big weight he had there, the imposter 60 kilos, we elected to go back a little. So I'm sure if he jumps with him tomorrow, he could sit, you know, 1-1, or, you know, in that first five for sure, without any undue pressure applied to him.
And how much has he improved since his first Aussie run?
Well, it was that's a $64,000 question, isn't it? It's a I think off his first run, I was not in the middle, no man's land, but he was such a hard horse to gauge because of his post-wind recovery. We'd never touched him in any of his gallops. You know, we knew we'd done enough work to get the 2,000 first up, but, you know, we had a small blow after his gallop, which said to me that he's probably 80% fit during that run, and obviously 6 weeks of subsequent works got him a bit tighter. He looks tighter in the muscle tone, and, you know, he's such a clean-winded horse that all his gallops since have been terrific, and, yeah, I'm sure he's improved.
Do you think
another couple of lengths.
Do you think he's $1.85 pop tomorrow?
Obviously the support's come from, as I said, $3.40 into $1.85, which didn't last long. And, yeah, he probably, you know, I think that horse, Paul Proust, was he's got a bit of X factor about him, that horse. I think he's a pretty smart horse in the making, and, you know, he's got to step up in grade and step up in trip, but, you know, he's three wide without cover there at Mooney Valley and finished off in the style of a good horse. I think he's going to be very hard to beat. And the top weight hangman's obviously shown good ability since coming from overseas. And although we've got a couple of kilos off him, that'll be in our favour. And, you know, well, Prince Ziggy's flying. He's the land old horse with Jamie down there, and he's doing a good job. So it won't be an easy task, but I think he'll be up to it.
Good on you, Rob. Good luck tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, Mick Sharkey.
He's understated but confident. Is he a $1.85 chance, Shark?
No, but keep backing him because I'll just get a better price on Hangman, and he's the best of the day for
You're
me.
A Hangman?
Yep.
Best of the day?
Best of the day, Hangman.
58 kilos, barrier 2.
Yeah, he's only got to give Shabao half a kilo. This is a glorified benchmark 78.
So you don't... Well, you're talking all these horses down. You don't...
No, I'm just saying that Shabao won a benchmark 70 last time. Hangman ran in a 78. He is the highest rated horse in this field with 77. I know it's a benchmark 84, but it's not really. Those three horses that Rob mentioned, Hangman, Shabao and Surprise Baby, all have potential to go to better grades. And I would much rather take $4.40 plus about a horse that I've seen half a dozen times and that is still improving, and who I think was only beaten by a pedestrian tempo and a very, very good ride on a stakes-winning horse, All Too Hoying, last time. His closing sectionals were excellent. I think he ran the fastest last 600 and 400 of the entire meeting, Hangman. He is a great bet at Flemington tomorrow.
Where's he going to get to from barrier two, and what's the tempo going to be like?
Tempo should be all right. I've got 11 Airs Rock, probably leading Silence the Stars. Prince Ziggy will be handy enough. We've seen Hangman settle midfield over longer distances. I don't think he has to go back to last by any stretch. I think he'll be in the second half of the field, probably with Shabao. They'll probably make their runs together and we might find out who's the best horse.
Mm. All right, Sharky, best of the day. Hangman.
Tremendous value.
Taking on the odds on Pop Shabao. Is Surprise Baby the only other chance?
Yep.
Nice race for Trifecta First Fours?
Yeah, I probably would play a little Trifecta along those three, box them up and have a few units on it. I can't believe Shabao, $1.85. We've seen it once. We've seen it once.
Well, they're talking
I love an
Cups.
Import as much as... Talking Melbourne Cups. It won a benchmark 70.
That's
right.
What the long-term goal is.
Yeah, of course it is. That's why they bought it. But you can't say the horse is a Melbourne Cup on track for the Melbourne. It won a benchmark 70. Talk to me when it wins a stakes race. I say that about any of these. Oh, well, this is our goal. Of course it's our goal. That's what you bought it for. But you have to go through the grades and prove you're of that standard. It's under the odds. Really nice horse. And well bought by Suman Hedge. Very well bought.
The international man of mystery, Mick Sharkey, is potting the Shabao.
Under the odds. Unders. So far unders. He may well win, and that's great. And good luck to them. But he is unders.
All right, there we go. It's all there for posterity.
See if I can light Twitter up at
Hangman, best of
9:20
the day.
9:20 on a Friday morning.
He said he's basically a camel. So, no, he's not. He's a nice horse.
I did not say that.
Let's have a look at race number three. And it'll be interesting to see what Chauffeur does because he blew them away first up. He's had more stables than most people have had hot dinners. He's now with the Hayes camp and Order of Command. Interesting to see what the market is doing with it, Trent.
Well, this is an open race, Michael, but the main support has been for the favourite Order of Command, who has tightened from $4.60 into $4 since the fields were released on Wednesday. Astico has been just a touch easy in the betting from $4.60 to $5. Enigman, just a firmer from $8.50 into $7, has had the second most support behind Order of Command. Intuition, pretty solid at $7. Chauffeur has actually been a drifter in the betting from $7.50 to $8.50. That's the last of the gallopers in single figures. Sam's Image is the best of the others there at $13. But a relatively open race, the third, but Order of Command has shortened from $4.60 into a $4 favourite.
Chauffeur jumps 7 kilos when he gave Order of Command Windburn through their last run. Do you forgive Order of Command? He didn't have the best passage. He was drawn on the inside. He's drawn out a bit wider, which I think will suit him tomorrow. Which way are you going?
Well, again, there's a horse, Order of Command, who was racking up wins in benchmark 80 and 84 grade, went to an open handicap and was beaten. So, you know, he's got to prove that he's up to this sort of standard because this is a strong race. Like, there are some horses here with stakes class form. It's the trick, one of the trickier races on the day, in my opinion, to sort out. I don't think there's hectic speed. Mystico will go forward. Princeton Spirit will go forward. Sam's Image will go forward. They're not going to really rip along. So, you know, with those straight races where they run in a bit of a clump, I think that's what we're going to see here. I have no firm opinion on the race. I'm interested to see what Chauffeur can do. We've only seen him, well, we saw him once with Darren Weir, and he was back to his best or near enough, certainly showing all the right signs. But now he's got a new stable and 4 weeks between runs. So what do you make of that? On last week's Weir relocation form, you'd say there's no issue. But each horse is different. So he would probably be my top pick, but I won't be betting in this race.
Gee, they've done a big job with Mystico.
Oh, fantastic. Trevor Rogers should be applauded. But again, very, 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 very good placement. Very, very, very good placement. From a benchmark 64 to another 64 to a 78, well ridden by Chelsea Hall on all occasions. But he's been very well placed, this horse. This is his toughest test. Hopefully, it'll be great. It'd be a great result on a Group 1 race day for a small stable like that to get a win. Doesn't matter if it's in the benchmark 90 sprint. It's a big deal.
All right. So you're going to be with Order of Command, but you couldn't have a
I'll
bet.
Be with Chauffeur, but
Chauffeur,
wouldn't bet in the race. No.
All right. All right. That is the third from Flemington. We're going to take a break. More to come on the other side of this as we continue to look at the big Flemington meeting. Not too far away, the Quaddy.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
We're up to race four at Flemington, which is for the two-year-olds, a talented stakes, one of the most open races of the day. What can you do? Can you help us out with the market? Has there been any early moves?
Well, I can say, Michael, that Microphone has been the best backed for the fourth on the card, the first leg of the big six. Microphone has been $4.40 into $3.90, and there was a bet yesterday of $5,000 at $3.90. Lanagara at the $4.60 second elect. There hasn't been too much change there. And then there's a few of them that are all around the same sort of price. You have Charvet and Art Collection. They're both at 10, and they haven't really done anything from a market perspective. Alberk and Swan Island, they're both at 12. And Talented, the only other one that's had some sort of specking at 16 into 13. But you've got the two in single figures, but clearly the better backed has been Microphone, who's been $4.40 into $3.90.
Gee, this is tricky. I thought Charvet at $10 wasn't a little horse without a hope, because it was very nice on debut in the two-year-old Magic Millions Classic. And, gee, the form's starting to stack up out of that. Trent Busserton trains Charvet with Natalie Young, and he joins us now. How are you, Trent?
Good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well. You don't mind a little dabble. $10 appealing, Charvet, tomorrow?
I think so, but it certainly looks a tricky race. I did just been saying, it's very open, and down the straight full of two-year-olds, it's hard to sort out, but she's very well, and like you say, usually that reverse race, it's not a good form race, but this year might be a little bit different. The courses are running first and third have seem to have gone on with her.
Now, Trent, I stood with you out the back at Ballarat on the day that Charvet made her debut, and we were just soaking in some of the sights there on Ballarat Cup Day, and you told me that this filly was extremely talented, but we might not see it, you know, in the first part of this year. Is she screaming two-year-old, or are you thinking three-year-old later in the spring we'll see the very best of her?
First of all, that's probably something I don't want to admit to, hanging around out the back with you. But
and I can only imagine what sights you were at.
Well, I think we were at the hot dog stand, basically. no, look, yeah, you've hit it right on the head. She's not a two-year-old by any means. Everyone will see her in the parade ring tomorrow, and she'll be a big, tall, lean filly. She's exactly that. She's a spring three-year-old filly. But she does have plenty of ability. She's up, ready to go, and she's feeling well. She's got no ailments, so it'd be nice to try and get a bit of black type, whether it be tomorrow or at some stage in the two-year-old season, without really, you know, squeezing her up too much.
What do you think about Barrier 15, first time down the straight?
Well, it depends which way they go. From what I see, it's usually better off drawing out rather than on the inside. Would that be correct? If they come to the outside of the track, I suppose it depends where they're going, but we'll leave that up to Dwayne Dunn. He's ridden plenty of winners down the straight, so he knows what he's doing.
Got a couple of other nice chances on the day as well. Sham Wow, you've decided to run her in the Vanity. Big step up in class, but gee, she looked good last start.
Yeah, exactly. That's sort of the owners. There's a few breeders in there, and they're keen to have a crack at black type, which I've got no problems with. She's very talented, this filly, but it says it all. She's running up against Group 1 performers. I think she will definitely get to group. You know, she'll be winning group races, whether it's tomorrow or not. She really has to do everything right, and she can do a little bit wrong. She is slow away, so if she begins well and can stay within, you know, four or five lengths of them on the turn, I think she certainly can pick up some of it. But, she'd have to bring her absolute A game.
Good to see Mainstage back at the races too in the last.
Well, he ran last night.
He ran last night.
Finished fourth.
Well, they haven't scratched him yet. We'll ignore that. What about El Sicario, Trent? That's a horse that I marked down as a coming winner. I probably didn't envisage him getting to a race quite as strong as the third at Flemington tomorrow.
He's at a stage in the ratings where there's not a hell of a lot around. You know, I'd love to find another rating 78 around Caulfield somewhere, but there's just nothing coming up. He hates the valley. He's about 5 for none at the valley, so we don't have too many options. And but you're right. Rating 90 is probably a bit hard for him, but we've basically been forced to go there. So. It's a story with him. He does have plenty of ability, but he's an enigma. I think someone in the parade ring said last time there's a big discrepancy between his best and his worst, and he either runs very well or he's out the back, so he's hard to catch.
What about your first starter tonight, Villa Blanca? D. Oliver on, smells like it's a big chance.
Yeah, very, very fast out the gates, just pure speed. It'll ping out and give him something to catch, I think, and saying that, you know, there'll be plenty of other fast two-year-olds in there, but she's very much a 1,000-metre two-year-old. She's very well-bred, and she's got speed across all sides of her pedigree, and I think she is very hard to beat.
She your best of the weekend? Or Charvet?
I'd say her and Charvet.
Very good. Good on you, mate. Good luck.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Busseton, how do you see the two-year-old race here? Obviously, Trent's got a big opinion of Charvet. Microphone, and again, this Barrier 1 is just the little seed of doubt in your mind. He's got the best form, you would say, on paper.
He does. Yeah, he's the benchmark on form, no doubt about that. And, you know, quite a reliable sort of colt as well. What compounds this race and makes it even more confusing is the fact that all the debutants have got ability. They've all jumped out really well. I liked what Excess Funds has been doing at the Flemington jump outs. I really liked Charlize, number 15. Its Caulfield jump out recently was very, very good. So there's some talented horses in this race that we haven't seen on race day yet. So fascinating little contest. I had microphone on top, not with a great deal of confidence. We're still sort of working out the two-year-old form. I think it's still pretty early. The Blue Diamonds, that picture's forming, but these second-tier stakes races, third-tier stakes races, they're tricky races to sort out.
Well, Lanagira has got blistering speed. So
very quick.
You'd think it'll jump out, maybe give the stablemate something to follow. So, anyway, it's
the other good horse in the race is Talented from the Snowdons. So it won a big field maiden at Geelong and did it really well. I know that the form out of the race has been a little bit patchy, but she was in another league to those horses in that
$13.
Race. So, yeah, you're getting $13. That's a sort of race. We don't know how good horses like this are. And Talented might be very talented and maybe well and truly up to this level. But, a watch and learn race for me.
And Swan Island was another one I thought ran really nice.
Yeah,
debut,
good,
hitting the
good
line
debut.
Well.
Yeah.
Tricky race. The market movers at Trent will tell us closer to the time tomorrow will need to be watched very, very closely. Race number 5 is the Tab Vanity. Gee, this is another nice race. We've got the two smart fillies, Amphitrite, very elegant, who are resuming, and Fundamentalist. Gee, David Hayes gave her a good push today. What's the market doing?
There has been plenty of support for Fundamentalist as well here, Michael. And there hasn't been a sizable bet. No one's had 5,000 or anything of that nature, but just constant support since Wednesday. Fundamentalist has been 4 into now the $3 favourite. Amphitrite has had money as well, but not to the extent of Fundamentalist. Amphitrite's been 380 into 330. The closer has had to drift as a result from 420 to 6. Very elegant. Unwanted, 8. ShamWow at 10. There's been a nibble there at a price. And then My Pendant is the other that's in the teens at 14. But the top two in the market, you're looking at 60% for Fundamentalist and about 25% for Amphitrite. There's not much else after that. Fundamentalist, 4 into 3. Amphitrite, 380 into 330.
Barriers, fitness comes into play tomorrow. But just rule a line over all of them. Who do you think is the best filly?
The best filly in this field?
Mm.
Oh, and what we've seen so far, Amphitrite.
You think she's better than Very Elegant?
Very Elegant is talented, but she's a banana. She is her own worst enemy, Very Elegant. She just... Look, she needs... Potentially, she's as good as Amphitrite, if not better, but her racing manners bring her unstuck. We saw it. How many times she run during the spring? 4, 5? Every time she went around, she carried on like a pork chop. You can't do that and win regularly. You just can't. So I can't back her until she starts. And the problem is, because she is so talented, she's well in the market every time she goes around. And you know, I don't like playing roulette.
First run here in Australia last time in was over a mile.
Yeah.
And she should have beaten Amphitrite. She had no luck.
It was very good.
And got held up. But Amphitrite's jump out we saw last week, phenomenal. Hazy says he likes Fundamentalist, probably because he hasn't had that much to do with Amphitrite as well. So
yeah, possibly. I think the other reason that the market is really gravitating towards Fundamentalist is because she is the only horse in this race with a skerrig of pace.
Mm.
There is no speed in this. None. Fundamentalist almost has to lead because unless one of the roughies or something like a Goldie Fox wants to go forward as it did in its maiden, there's just no pace here that we can see on exposed form. Like there are horses down the bottom that have had 1 and 2 starts, so maybe one of those has got more speed than we know and it might roll forward. But on what we know, Fundamentalist should lead. Michael Walker can control the race. It was very good tagging up in a fast run 1200 at Caulfield first up. I think that will really bring her on. She's my top pick and the bet in this race. But the horse that I really want to see, and I'm very, very interested to see how it comes back at this level, is number 11, Alexandria.
Gee, she looked good on
it. It is a talented filly. And this thing could be something that just emerges and ends up in an Oaks, whether it's in
1400,
Sydney.
You'd be surprised if she could run over them. She'd be something special if she could.
True that, yeah. And again, one start, we don't know what she's capable of. And that's the exciting thing for me. There are three or four horses in this race that have had 1 or 2 starts that have looked really good in maiden grade. We get to test them against a couple of really good benchmarks in Amphitrite and Very Elegant. So, yeah, it's a good race. I'm backing Fundamentalist more on the reasons around the speed.
They ran 1-2 in the 1,000 guineas. Is that what you're expecting tomorrow then? Amphitrite fundamentalist?
Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Depends where those horses get and how far back they get in the run. You know, a horse like My Pendant with good residual fitness. Her last run was in late December. She's been very good. You know, she might be a bit sharper than some of those better performed fillies up the top here, and she might be able to put her head into a hole. It's a really, really interesting little race.
Race 6 is the first leg of the quaddie, and gee, this is a tough start to the quaddie. The Hong Kong Jockey Club Trophy. Our Peaky Blinders has come out. Give us the top ones in betting, Trent, and who's been the best backed? Have there been any long shot specked?
Well, probably the best long shot spec is Thundercloud, and especially after what Dean Lister said this morning during the Friday form focus.
What did he say?
That he said it's a moral.
Did he really?
No, like Thundercloud,
best of the roughie.
Wow.
Best of the day.
Yes. There had been some early support there, but at the top there has been money for Heptagon, who has been 5 into a $3.60 favourite. Also, Antar has had support, 7.50 into 4.20. Mr Moneybags has gone the other way, has been 3.30 out to 5. Guizzo at 8.50, then to $10 for Critical Thinking, and the aforementioned Thundercloud, who's been 17 into 11 since Wednesday. But there you go. Heptagon, a $3.60 favourite. And this is the first leg of the Quaddie Markle, where there's a projected $2 million pool tomorrow.
Wow. We'll all be playing. How wide do we go in this first leg? Heptagon was good to all the Hillsville Racing Pulse picnic bus fans
who we honked
on in the last at Caulfield.
You all got out, did you?
We were in front. It was just putting us
really?
Further in front.
Icing flying. The cake. Is that why there flying. Were more slabs bought on the bus?
That's
on the way
right.
Home?
Yeah, it was a very good drive
Surprised
back to Melbourne.
Surprised you can remember that day.
Some people can't. Antar at that same meeting was outstanding.
Yes.
And the improvement this horse has shown, its last three starts, has been phenomenal. How many do we need in the first leg of the quaddie? Is there anything that you're very keen on here?
I think Guizzo is a good each-way bet in the race because he's going to get a race with genuine speed. There is good pace here. George Patton, we saw it go forward and lead last time at a good tempo and ran well, so I assume they take those same tactics again from 14.
Is he going to win one of these one day?
Maybe,
is he getting ready?
I'm going to keep throwing him in. I'll keep backing him, and I'm going to keep throwing him in the quaddie too, just in case. Goldfields, Mr. Moneybags probably goes forward as well. Critical Thinking as well. So there's a bit of speed in this race. I just thought Guizzo... From gate 11, good form around silence. Now, that's as good as anything in this race. I thought he was a good each-way bet at $10 or thereabouts. As far as the quaddie is concerned, I'll be throwing in 2 Heptagon, 4 Guizzo, 6 Old Mate George Patton, Antar, number 10. And I'm going to throw Thundercloud in too with that late breaking news that I missed while I was flying into Melbourne this morning. I'll throw 13 in.
Yeah, got to put Thundercloud in.
It's what the about jet setting life I lead, Trent. Yeah. You look at me laughing. It's true.
He was down in Tasmania doing his best.
Big deal down there.
Oh, Ron Burgundy, sorry.
What about Groundbreak?
Better preparation from Groundbreak. He's putting some consistency together and he's finding the line with a bit of purpose. Last prep he was a bit hot and cold, but last two runs have been good. I just think this might be a touch strong for him.
And you're potting Mr. Moneybags?
I'm not potting him.
Well, you haven't put him in your top 6. A pot.
I'm bored of him, to be honest. He got his win a few starts ago and he's had a long prep. Well, he's had 6 starts
well,
now.
He's back to Flemington
starts.
Where he's won 3. He's drawn nicely.
Just a little bored of him. I just want to see something else.
Up to 1,600.
Yeah. Barrier
but
is a
not,
big help.
Not worthy of a quaddie.
No. Barrier is a big help for Mr. Moneybags because that was basically what cooked him last time.
Critical Thinking's another one you've left out. Why
yeah,
that?
Pass.
Just a simple pass or
not
is there a
enough.
Reason? Not good enough. Okay. Ran second to Silence 3 starts ago. One
I know. Started. Yeah, I just don't think it's good enough to win this race.
Did you ever do debating? Because
yeah.
Your argument's not
they
that strong.
They were very short. They were very short debates,
yeah, exactly.
And I was always right.
All right. First leg of the quaddie, 2, Heptagon, 4, Guizzo, 6, George Patton, 10, Antar, and the 13, who
yeah.
is Dean Lester's best roughie of the day.
Well, it gets elevated
at $11
on that basis alone. Now, our good friend, I think you could say he's our number one listener, in fact, Warren Huntley, has just texted in to alert us to the fact that Groundbreak will be running tonight at Moonee Valley.
Thank you for that, Woz.
Now, it should be winning that race. I think it's race 4 or something. Race 5, maybe. Race 5. It should be winning that race, Groundbreak.
Race 5, Moonee Valley. For those out there who want to have a little something on.
$3 favourite.
$3.
If it runs to its recent form and it keeps in that good headspace that he's in at the moment, it'd be very, very hard to beat there.
All right, we've got a tip for tonight, and we've got your first leg quarting numbers at Flemington. We're going to take a break. On the other side of this, we'll come back with the features.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. We're up to race number 7, the CS Hay Stakes. This is another one of the highlights. It's a tricky race. It'll be interesting as far as we are talking about the Australian Guineas and also the All-Star Mile. Who's been the best backed, Trent?
Good luck with this race, Michael. There are many chances. I would say Age of Chivalry has been the biggest tightener at the second elect, 850 into 650. But you've got Adana, who's at the top of the market at $6. After Age of Chivalry, Otordo, who went up an equal $6 favourite, now at $7. Ring a Ding Ding has been easy, 850. Performer 9, Extra Brute, has had some support, 11 into 950. And the chances don't stop there with Rania at 10 and then the Inevitable at 13. But this is a tough one for the very important Sharky to pick here.
Oh, you are. Just, I love listening to those words. Just, it's like honey listening to you speak, Trent, especially this time of day. Unbelievable. You would have had a busy Valentine's Day.
Did you get... Well, I spoke to you yesterday. You hadn't got a Valentine by 9.15. How did the day end up? What was the tally?
There was no difference by 9.15 last night.
That's impossible.
Did you send some out?
No, I didn't want to make a big deal for that particular day. It just should be normal if you fancy someone. It shouldn't matter if it's the 14th of February.
This is correct. Yeah. And you are, your that's exactly romantic what I calendar said. That's is very exactly busy as it is. You needed a night off. That's what you needed.
Don't expect anything special on this day.
The big bash was on. That's why I was checking in with that.
Well, look, mate, don't feel disappointed, because yesterday we put out a call for some love for Matty Stewart on his 50th birthday and we didn't get one.
Nothing
brass,
happened there.
Not a brass razoo.
I met a couple of people in Tasmania that might be able to help Matty.
Yes, over 60s on Tinder. Mm. We will.
That was an enlightening eavesdropping experience.
We will involve Matty in that. All right, let's find the winner of the CSA Stakes. You could conceivably put the field or maybe just knock 3 or 4 out of this. I need you to trim it up for a Sharky. Where are you going? Who are you putting in? Who are you leaving out?
Thorondor is my top pick.
Oh, stop it. That was the first one the pen goes through.
No. No, there is some sense here, possibly, potentially, if he wins. If he doesn't, then I'm completely mad. But this horse, I think, has been trained up to win this race. He's 2 runs from a break. He's looked big in condition. He needed it first up. Ran well, ran out of petrol at about the 200 in that Inglis Dash. Then he went to the Manfred. On speed, chasing Tin Hat. Tin Hat was running some very, very strong, sustained sectionals there. And he was right on his back, just ran out of petrol late. There's not the same sort of pressure this time around. Age of Chivalry probably leads from expansion. The Rondor will be right there from a good gate. At $26,
this would be
he
Manuel-esque.
Will give you a great shout. Look at his form at Flemington. He's run a very good race in a Dane Hill. He's flirted with this sort of grade in the past in Guineas Preludes. There is no superstar 1,400-metre colt or gelding in this race. There is not. You know, Extra Brute's the best horse in the race, and he'll be getting warm at the last 400.
Well, he's yours.
The last
so
200, he'll be warming
can
up.
Can he win over 1,400?
We think he's improved this time around, but I think winning over 1,400 would be a surprise.
Flies at Flemington.
He does.
Where's he going to get to from 4?
Back.
Yep.
Just warming up late.
Back on the fence in a weave through, right?
Yeah. I can't see him winning, to be honest. I think he'll run a really nice race, and he's a great chance to run, you know, 3rd or 4th and to have everyone going, wow, that was a great return from the Derby winner. But I'd be a little bit surprised if he won. I would not be surprised if the Rondor won.
Gee, I can't find him. Well done. We will see.
Well, don't thank me yet. It hasn't won yet. No, well, at the moment, you're just taking 26 about a half-baked theory, but that's, you know, sometimes what? As good as you need.
What about the other horses that are at the up-and-comers? The Otortos, Star Ruse, Age of Chivalry, Expansion.
Even more Sundays.
More Sundays if it gets a run.
Big Field, Genuine Speed. You know, he could do something. I tend to think Age of Chivalry, I've got some time for. I think he's a nice horse, but yeah, the fact that he's been well-backed in this race, coming off midweek form, maybe tells us, and he's still a raw talent as well.
We've got the Derby trifecta.
Yeah,
in
we
the
do.
Race.
Mm. Don't know how that's going to work at 1400, but I just think Thorondel's the right horse in the right race.
He's drawn wide.
Yeah, 18. Very good at Flemington, though. Stone cold ride. He definitely goes in the quaddy.
What about the Tassie Galloper, the inevitable? Is Arlong Selling's probably not the same quality as its meeting?
But the better horses from Tassie, as we've seen, the likes of Mystic Journey and a couple of others that I think will make their way over to the mainland in coming months. I think their better horses are a better quality now, last few seasons. It wouldn't surprise me if he measured up and ran a nice race, top five sort of finish.
And gee, there's a good spruik on Andana. Sally Snow from the tab yesterday said she thinks Andana's her Australian Guineas tip.
Wow. That is there you go. That's a big rap from a very, very good judge. So we must pay attention to that. It's just a shame Andana couldn't win first up when I was on.
Give us your numbers in for the quaddy.
I tend to leave a bad taste in the mouth when they do that to you. In the quaddy, second leg, 1, Ring-a-ding-ding. I'm going to put in Rainier, number 4. Performer, number 5. I'm going to put in Otorto, 11. Thorondor, 12. And Andana, 13. We're loading up this one a bit. It's tricky.
You are, but it's still probably a bit skinny in some respects. Ring-a-ding-ding. Rainier, Performer. So 1, 4, 5, 11, 12, and 13. Mm-hmm. All right.
Risky, leaving out some nice horses.
If Thorondor wins, you'll be chaired in here like Matty Stewart was last week with Manuel. Let's get on to the feature, the Black Caviar Lightning Stakes. Give us a full market here, Trent.
We have Sunlight, who has come in from as much as 4 into 380. In her time, 7 into 5 since Wednesday. Raff has been 480 out to 6. Osborne Bulls, 650. Written By and Lean Mean Machine have both been 650 out to 8. Jettastar, who was 26 in the all-in market. Final Field's been 15 into 13. Divine Quality, 19. Battle Hero and Glenall, both 34. And Miss Rock is the $61 outsider.
All right, let's go through this Lightning Stakes. It's a great race. First of all, the 2-year-old Jettastar. It was such a pleasure to have Chris Caserta in the studio yesterday. He spoke so well.
Yeah.
He's eating lettuce, leaves and carrots.
Gee, he's doing it tough.
To get down to 44 kilos. Can Jettastar lead and win?
I don't think so. But what a great talking point to have a 2-year-old in a weight for age Group 1 race. Well done, Team Kennewell and the connections for taking the punt. You know, we'll all be watching her to see what she does. And a massive effort from Chris Caserta. Massive. Wow. 44 kilos.
Yep.
I've eaten bigger steaks.
Stevie Baster, 93, on Clever Zoe. The last time a filly went so close. I wonder how it will perform tomorrow. Let's have a chat to Robbie Griffiths, who joins us quickly, because Divine Quality knocked everyone out of the quaddy.
Ruining more lives
over
tomorrow,
the Melbourne
Robbie,
Carnival. I stood there, mouth agape, because she won like a 2s-on-pop. It was unbelievable, Divine Quality, what she was able to do. I wonder if she's in the same vein of form. How are you, Robbie?
Very well, thanks, Michael.
Is she going as well as she was that day over the Melbourne Cup Carnival?
I believe she is. She's done everything right at home in training, a couple of trials, gallop Tuesday morning. So, you know, different race structure, of course. It's, you know, it's a better quality event, 100 metres shorter, weight for age. But I think we've got her in as good a condition, so hopefully she can step up to the plate.
There's good speed in the race, Rob, and obviously she's a get-back run-on filly mare now. We saw her in that barrier trial on the 4th of Feb. I thought she was a little closer than I would have expected to see her. Was that just to make sure she's got the fitness under her belt and she's ready to rock and roll here over 1,000?
Yeah, and also a lot of the trials at Cranbourne aren't overly fast run from barrier to corner, and then they tend to sprint up the straight pretty quickly. Mm. So a lot of horses will race closer in those trials in compared to how they do on race day.
Good point.
Well, it'd be a huge training effort if you could get her to win a Group 1 Lightning Stakes. Would make her a very, very valuable broodmare as well. A couple of other runners on the day. Mick Sharkey's basically said, don't bother bringing Mr. Moneybags. He doesn't think it's got a hope, but I'm a little bit more positive about its chances. What do you think?
Well, I'm very positive about its chances. I think that you got to forgive last run. He did get galloped on. He pulled up. It should be in the steward's report. He pulled up with a pretty slow recovery. It was a really sort of hot, humid day. And he didn't get around the corner that well and looked as though he was going to drop out. And then the last part of his work was quite complimentary to the line. So I think coming back to Flemington, where all of his best stats are, I think he'll run like he always has at Flemington very well.
And Magnicity in the Talented Stakes as well. It was a nice run first up.
It was. It was a good, tough win. You know, there was a tearaway leader. She really, fought hard and was strong to the line to win the race. It's, you know, this is a different setup again, but it's quite a tough event. It's a raffle. There's a lot of chances. I'm pleased she's had the experience of running down the straight in the spring, albeit bad conditions that day. She's still come up the straight and was respectable. So that's a big plus going into tomorrow, but it's a hard race to pick that one.
It is a tough day, deep races. Who's your best, do you think?
Well, we're hoping it's Divine Quality. We've got her in great order, so we're hoping that she can make the transition to Group 1 racing. But certainly Mr. Moneybags, I think he'll turn himself around and be very competitive.
Good luck, Robbie.
Thanks, Michael.
Sharky, I'm going to throw the names at you, and I want a summation. Osborne Bulls.
1,000 metres the worry, but very good horse.
In her time.
Yeah, can win.
Divine Quality.
Place chance.
Written by...
passing on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm not convinced the three-year-old form is up to open age Group 1.
Oh, so are you passing on Graf as well?
He is a different kettle of fish because he's coming through that New South Wales three-year-old form, and I don't think we know how good Graf is yet.
Lean Mean Machine, first up?
Yeah, not at 1,000.
And Sunlight's a three-year-old filly as well, so you're potting Sunlight.
She's the exception to the rule because she has raced against the open class horses and run really well. I think she easily had the boys' measure in the Coolmore, although it was a long neck margin. But look at the two behind her, Zusain and Lean Mean Machine, New South Wales three-year-old form.
We think this is going to be a lickety-split 1,000 with Jeddastar running them along.
Yeah.
Does that mean a horse like Osborne Bulls can run over the
top? It's going to help Osborne Bulls, no doubt. But it might also help a horse like Graf, who will probably be a few pairs in front of Osborne Bulls, or at least a couple of lengths. I just kept coming back to him because I don't know how good he is. He's only had the 6 starts. He's very talented. And he might be in that first wave of closers off the back of the speed. You know, lob up midfield, get a nice trail there, pop out, get a gap somewhere and dart through. I had him on top, but gee, it's a hard race.
So Graf,
really hard race.
Graf on top for you. Yep. How many do we put in the quaddie?
Osborne Bulls, In Her Time, number 4. Graf, number 8. Sunlight, number 10.
Just the 4. 1, 4, 8, and 10. We come home and it doesn't get any easier for quaddy punters. What's the market doing here, Trini?
I can't provide anything in terms of a big firmer here, Michael, because there hasn't been one. This is extremely tough. Flo and Foxhall share favouritism at 6.50. The Answer, My Friend, and Mantastic, they're both at 8. Widgie Turf, 8.50. Streets of Avalon, 9, along with Over and Above. And then King's Command, the best of the others at 11. Hopefully you've got plenty of selections in the last leg of the quaddy.
Well, how do we bring it home? Because The Answer, My Friend, is back to his favourite track over 1,400 metres. So we forgive last start at Caulfield?
Yeah, you can. I don't think he's going as well as he has at his very, very best, The Answer, My Friend. How do you come home in the quaddy? Easy, you just take the field and then you're sweet. Honestly, this is a nightmarish end to the day. I will be well and truly home, I think, by the time this race is run. Oh, no, I won't. King's Command's running in it. If he does run from a wide gate. Yeah, I think there's some conversation today between Troy and Brad about whether he runs or not. It's a really, really tough race. If Flo had drawn a good gate, I would have been right in its corner. But James McDonald would need to produce some magic from 18, I'd have thought. It might be a case of just getting a better price about Flo because of that barrier. But it would be my top pick. As far as the quad is concerned, honestly, you could throw in 10 or 12 horses here.
Zebulon's an interesting runner, and Matty Welsh was tipping it off the trials yesterday.
Trialed really nicely, yeah. Injury-plagued galloper, a lot of ability. One of those horses that you look at him as a 7-year-old having had 10 starts, you think, gee, what could he have been if he was sound? Mm. It's a real shame, but maybe a new beginning for him, or definitely a new beginning with Aaron Purcell at Warrnambool. We might, the beach and the waters down there might see him back to something like his best.
All right, what are your numbers in the last?
Well, you can throw in as many as you like. As far as I'm concerned, I'll be going 4, 5, 11, 12, 15, and 16.
4, Rock and Gold, 5, Flow, 11, Zebulon, 12, mm-hmm. Foxhall, mm-hmm. 15, Mantastic first up, and 16, Streets of Avalon. What's your best of the day at Flemington?
Hangman, race just 2, the one? Number 1.
Just one good thing of the day.
Yeah, what and I'd like a couple of races in Sydney. I was abused at Caulfield last week for backing a winner and not
mentioning
it.
You said Castelvecchio was immoral. You didn't tell us.
I hadn't looked at the form at that point of the day.
That does deserve a reprimand. Who's the best in Sydney?
I really like race 4 at Sydney. Perrette, I think he'll be ready now, and Diplomatico. So I'll be staking around those two. I haven't looked at the market yet, but I'll be backing both of them to win and deciding closer to the event based on the market who I like best.
And Trent, best back to Flemington?
Race 5 at number 4, Fundamentalist.
Excellent. Good luck, gents. I hope you back plenty of winners. Good luck to all the listeners out there. Hope you back plenty of winners. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow from 7 a.m. Greg Miles with the early word and then the punters panel. And we'll be live from Flemington from 10:30 until 12 o'clock, a special outside broadcast. Maddie Stewart, Dean Lester, Peter Moody, Richo will stick his head in. David Gately joined us for the entire show as well. We'll speak to all the trainers and the jockeys to give you all the late mail before Black Caviar Lightning Stakes Days. Up next, though, it's the Country Racing Show.